5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the DJ Soothslayer episode. I met Caroline Miller a few years back just through neighbor friends, and we used to hang out. And the most interesting part of her interview is, like, she got the cover of the LA Weekly, and so we just kind of examined, like, her trajectory to that point, and yeah, that's what I enjoy talking about. So thanks for tuning in, and peace. Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome Caroline Miller, DJ, producer, otherwise known as Soothslayer.
Yo! What up?
What up? Look at this.
Yep.
This is crazy. When I saw this, I'm like, what? She got the cover. I mean, this is a real honor, don't you? I mean, this is crazy.
I was pretty stoked about it.
I'm like, hold up, let's just, we got to backtrack. Because I met you back in the day when you were with Kenneth. This is like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're out here from North Carolina.
That's correct.
And so I know this, I'm kind of jumping the gun. Like, how did it go from that to like this?
Well,
this is crazy.
Yeah, it's intense in a good way. It was always something that I had wanted to do for a long time. And
what, DJ?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And produce and just, you know, really do something that I enjoyed with music.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a lot of effort into it, and I just kept, you know, practicing all the time till I got to a point where, okay, I could start I was good enough to get bookings, and then I guess it just turned into a thing from there. Mm-hmm. And
Weren't you into the scene, like, even in North Carolina, though?
Yeah, I'd followed drum and bass music for like 20 years now, it feels like, since I was in high school.
Just going to the raves and
it was the first type of dance music I really fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
I had liked other types of dance music, but that was the one that really resonated well with me, that I was like, okay, this is dope.
Yeah.
I want to do this.
Yeah.
Even back then, watching people like that I looked up to, I was like, God, I hope one day I could do that. And I would try to learn on vinyl, and I was really bad at first. It was just an awful disaster. And it kind of like starts out like that. It's really hard. It's difficult to figure it out. And drum and bass is very difficult to mix and to produce because it's super technical. So it was just like always a struggle. And I was like, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of figured it out. And I guess it became a thing. And I'm just really happy that it did become a thing, you know?
Who are some of the, like, the DJs you looked up to back then? Like, who inspired you?
Oh, let's see. I really enjoyed Andy C. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorite DJs. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed... this is so hard to go. I really like Koshin back in the day. Mm-hmm. That was one of my favorites. I love Dillinger, mm-hmm. who I got to see just a couple of weeks ago here mm-hmm. in LA. He mm-hmm. came and did an LA tour. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dillinger's music was in like top of the pop. Ed Rush and Optical, Bad Company, UK, all of that loved so much. And then I don't know, I just started like becoming really inspired by what they did mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. wanted to figure out how to do it myself, I suppose.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So how long were you and Kenneth together?
Let's see. A really long time, 9 years, I guess. Yeah.
Do you guys still talk?
All the time.
Oh.
Yeah, we're best friends.
Oh.
Yeah, we're the best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, when did you start getting like into like the production side of it?
Well, that has been something I had always tried with and struggled with for a long time. Like, I was never much of an engineer, but mm-hmm. I could compose. So I would be able to make these songs, and then they weren't quite sounding right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And recently, in the past few years, I've been able to figure out more of the engineering side of it mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. really, like, getting things to sound crisper and more professional, whereas before they just kind of sounded like a bunch of mud. And, yeah. I don't know, like, I would say I'm fairly, like, in the last 5 years, really making some progress with that, but I'm still not as, like, where I need to be in my
hey,
opinion.
Dude, but
I
it's feel a, like well, I it's need a part of the be, journey.
And it gets, like, that's the thing about this is it, with a really technical type of music, it is so hard to get it to sound the way that it should. Mm-hmm. It's so complex. It's like splitting the atoms sometimes.
Right.
And you'll, as a producer and other drum and bass producer, even other music producers will say the struggle is like, you'll get it to this point and then maybe you overcook something and then it just completely takes you out of that song and you either like get frustrated and want to throw it away and then mm-hmm. start with something new. And that's kind of been my struggle recently. I've been like, I have this one that I'm like, oh, it was so good, and then I just overcooked something, and I'm like to that point with it where I'm like, you know.
What do you usually make your stuff on? What program? Or?
Ableton. I use Ableton.
Oh, I got the intro thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have the intro version of it, or like the basic version of it.
Which version?
I don't know. I don't know how to use it.
Oh,
yeah. I don't even know where to start. I'll ask you after.
Yeah. Okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at it and I don't know.
It's a lot of fun. I was intimidated at first.
Yeah.
The first music production software I got was Reason, and that was super difficult when I was figuring it all out. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, none of this really came naturally for me. I had to work really hard at it. I had to practice all the time. I had to teach myself a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I tried to get other friends that were further along to teach me some mm-hmm, things, mm-hmm. like tried to learn from other people I've worked with. It's just, you know, it's mm-hmm. not super easy.
Right, right.
I guess it is for some people. I've met some people that are just like prodigies and I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah, but you know what? Wow. But the thing is, that's like, it's like that with every kind of art.
Anything,
or
yeah.
You know what I mean? Or skill. Uh-huh. This is something I want to do. You don't have to do this, but is there any way I could read some of your article and then I want a direct reaction of like what I just, because just to inform, I've never done that. And
this
I have
like going back in time. Yeah, no, is that okay? Almost a year
but
ago.
It's okay. Do you mind doing that? We'll just do it for a couple paragraphs.
Okay,
and
cool.
I'm going to read something and then you respond on like what your thoughts of that is.
In this moment?
In this moment.
Okay.
Okay. So it says this is the title of the articles. She's all about the interaction. Most promising fresh festival face soothsayer is crafting her own sound. Dope. Okay, that's just the heading. Okay, so this is how it starts. Watching soothsayer do a circle headbang is a sight to behold. What's a circle headbang?
Well, I guess it's when you flip your head in a circle.
Oh, okay, that's...
It's...
Boom. Circle.
I guess.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to keep that. She looks like she's possessed, whipping around and
accurate.
Pogoing with sparks shooting out of her electric blue hair. It has taken a while for the drum and bass DJ and up-and-coming producer who, when she's not on a flyer, goes by Caroline Miller. To be able to let loose like this. Until not too long ago, much of her time behind the decks was with her head down, avoiding eye contact. Now, comment why that last sentence really got my attention. Why no eye contact?
Oh, I used to be scared to death. I used to be so scared. And I was so worried about how I was putting everything together and how I was like my technical part of my mixing. I was afraid, oh no, something's going to go, or if I'd hear something go off, I would just automatically like be in my head, you know, I would just be like, oh, this is terrible.
During a live performance?
Yeah, I was just not confident. I was very insecure about it, you know?
This is good though. I like that because this is...
But
this
when you're first starting out, you have to feel it out. You don't really know exactly what... Even though it wasn't that new to me, it was just being in a new space, in a new scene, like a scene where I didn't know everybody just... so well quite yet. Like, we were acquainted, but we weren't family yet, you know?
You mean the other DJs and artists?
Yeah, yeah.
On the label?
And the other promoters and all the other things, you know? Now we're all this big unit, this
family.
Whole family, yeah. Yeah. And I was just, you know, acquainted, but I wasn't, you know...
Like a full, like a veteran or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay, so I was really insecure and I'd always look down and everybody would say I'd look so sad or why do I look so upset? And sometimes I'd play some of the best sets I felt like I've ever played. And then I'd still look miserable. And I was like, I was having the time of my life. What are you talking about? And they're like, you got to work on your crowd interaction.
Oh, okay. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Now interacting with the crowd is my favorite part. She says, sitting in her cozy Studio City home studio apartment, her darkly rimmed eyes sparkling. She reenacts her recent DJ gig at EDC China on the Bass Pod stage. What is EDC China?
It is a music festival.
Tell us more.
Have you heard of EDC before?
Yeah, but I'm not too familiar with that whole world.
Right. It is a dance music festival put on by a company called Insomniac.
And you work for them as well, right?
I do.
Okay, we'll get into that, but keep going.
And it's a dance music festival that includes a variety of subgenres of dance music and mm-hmm. Bunch of different artists from those subgenres come and they play at these different stages that they have set up with great video walls and, you know, nice stage designs and lots of stage effects. And there's, you know, other things to do at the festival, like interactive things, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Just like a music festival.
Yeah. In China.
In China. Yeah. In China.
What are you laughing at, Craig? Dude, what's China like? Is it crazy there or what? Yes. Like the smog? And
I wasn't even, they wouldn't even let me have water on the stage. Really? I was bringing water up and they were like, no. I was like, I can have water. It's a human crazy. Right. It's a basic human right. And they're like, don't talk to the police. So I was like, what the hell? Yeah. What is this?
How'd you find me? Like, you smoke weed, right?
Every day. Yeah.
But how'd you find weed in China?
I didn't. I went like that many days without weed and it was crazy. Was it crazy? I was like, I felt like
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then how did you substitute that?
Well, I drank a lot of alcohol instead.
Yeah.
Which isn't common for me because I don't drink.
Right, right. Any other kinds of drugs?
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, occasionally if I feel up for it, like I'm super into trying psychedelics and that type of thing. It's just nothing I do often. I don't really I'm kind of like a boring person.
That's cool.
Even when I go out, I barely drink. Yeah.
So you don't
stay really focused.
You've never done a set like drug induced, like.
Oh yeah, I have.
Like, I want to hear about that. I want to know about that.
I've done sets rolling my titties off, and they were really difficult. Just like,
okay, so let's play that out. Like, you drop a couple tabs of acid or you do ecstasy or something.
Like that.
Candy flipped or something. Or,
yeah.
Okay, so you do that and then they're
I did it one year at a festival, but I wasn't playing one of the big stages. I was at like a smaller stage.
Yeah.
At the after party. So it was like in just a building. And
so it was more mellow.
I felt like, I would never do that. Ever if I for like a big
show
or a show where like even I'm playing that, like, you know, I have respect for people, but we were like all partying, it was an after party, and if someone's just like jump on and I'm like okay, and if I happen to be lit, I guess. Then
that's
you
crazy.
Have to roll with it. You just got to figure it out.
Is it part of the culture, like
no,
the EDM
I,
world?
Like, well, yeah, for some people, I like that's so rare for me, and that was also years and years ago. That was probably 4 years ago, plus. So that's nothing that I would do now, really.
yeah, but you made it through that.
I did. Yeah. I don't know how.
Is it exhilarating when you're like lit, like kind of turned up like that, performing?
At first, I was like, I remember when I just started, like it started kicking in and I was like, oh shit. And they're like, you're about to go on. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out. And then I think I remember I probably accidentally stopped the record the person was playing before me. I, you know, instead of like mixing out of their vibe and making it nice and smooth, I accidentally just went ahead and cut it. And I was like, well, here we go. I have entered.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then
yeah,
everything
yeah.
else from there was fine. It wasn't like a big mess. Like
right.
I actually like somehow made it through. It probably wasn't perfect, but it wasn't like a mess. So.
Dude, you come a long way, dude. Look at this. LA Weekly cover? How'd you get involved with Insomnia?
Insomniac?
Is that the name of the company?
Yeah.
Insomniac, sorry.
I was DJing at a desert party. And when I guess I was doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the people that worked there were like, I wish that she did video editing because we need a new editor. And she seems like she knows about the dance music culture, and they wanted to hire people that were either like involved in the scene or fans of the scene and knew, like, just they wanted people that were
in the culture.
Yeah. Or just like that were involved or that, you know, knew about it, had knowledge of it, knew how, like, cause they don't want to just hire someone that came from a completely different background that had no knowledge of it at all. Cause then they're not going to know how to like edit the videos the way that they need to be cut.
Is that what you edit?
I edit videos for them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I play music for them.
So like, what? So do you, when did you start editing? Like, did you learn that back in the Carolina?
Well, yeah. I mean, I went to film school in college. I went to college.
Yeah. What college?
The University of North Carolina at Greensboro. Very,
oh, cool.
Very small school mm-hmm. in North Carolina.
That's what's up.
And it's like a art school. So I went to their film program.
Yeah.
And I guess when I was done, I did work in the industry for quite some time and fucking hated it.
Why?
Fucking sucks, dude.
What made it so bad?
I just hate it. Like it made me hate everything. It turned me into a Philistine. I was like, I hate movies. I edited action films for a little while and I was just like, so fucking over it that I was like, I don't even ever want to watch a movie again.
Oh,
but that's not
God.
Really true now.
Yeah.
I do watch a lot of things, but it did like make me not want to work in that industry. But
yeah.
I still had the skill set that, you know, a lot of other things need, you know, I'd rather invest it in music.
Yeah,
music.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, what do you remember some of the first projects you edited through Insomniac? Like what was it, a music video?
Okay, so I do a lot of their trailers. So they're a music mm-hmm. festival company. So they throw events like EDC.
They're huge, right? Aren't they one of the major ones?
Yeah, probably one of the top ones.
Like top three
or
something?
Yeah, for sure.
Globally?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And so we throw a lot of music festivals.
Uh-huh.
And I cut the video content, like the marketing content, the trailers, the teasers, the on sale marketing videos.
Yeah. Is it like subcontracting?
Videos.
Like, or do they pay you like annually or is it like through just job oriented?
No, I'm a full-time employee.
Full
so I'm on.
On
salary. Yeah.
Oh, you're on salary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Keep
mm-hmm.
going. I'm interested.
So yeah, that's basically it. Just.
Yeah. And then how long you been with Insomniac?
Almost 5 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Is it like a good company to work for?
Yeah, I love them.
They take
They're
care
my
of
family,
you?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, where there is their main offices in Los Angeles?
They are in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing New York too, or no?
No, they don't have an office in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Just LA.
And what are some of the biggest like festivals or like things they've thrown? Like the one in China? Is there one in Europe as well?
Yeah, they've had some in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. I think the biggest one that they throw is EDC Las Vegas, and that happens in May every year.
How crazy is that?
It's awesome.
How many people come out?
I think it's a total of 500,000 or 400,000 after 3 days. Now, each day is like 150,000 or 200,000 people.
How much for a ticket?
It's a lot. I think GA now is like 400 or 500 bucks.
What?
It's insane. That's because it's 3 days, but it's like a 12-hour festival. So it starts at like 6 or 7 at night, and then it ends at 5 a.m.
So when
after 5 a.m., there's after parties at the place. They just section you off to a different area for an after party. So you could be there until like noon the next day. Some people never sleep. Some people are just up like...
Oh, my God, like zombies. Like
Jurassic Park. Yeah. Like raptors coming at you for 4 days straight.
When you buy a ticket to an event like that, do they cover room and board, or is it just for the festival?
No, that's just for the festival.
So they have to buy, on top of that, like food, lodging.
So they basically spend like $1 billion.
Okay, so let's do the math. Kidding. So how much would it, like one person, how much would that cost, like an average for a person to attend something like that?
I don't know.
For like 2 or 3 days?
I don't know, because it kind of depends on how much the room they get is in Vegas. Like,
That's not cheap.
It's not cheap these days. It's usually like a couple hundred bucks a night, you know? And that's like...
So they're spending thousands of dollars. Would you say like $4,000 to $5,000 if they want a good time?
Yeah, and most of them come out before the event starts because there's EDC week, so all the people play at like the different...
Casinos. Venues, casinos.
They have the clubs in the casinos. Yeah. So they'll play there and stuff.
What kind of drugs are going around during that week?
Probably everything that exists.
Like, so they have, you could do ketamine.
Yeah, there's that. There's that.
LSD.
Sure.
Mushrooms.
Of course.
Weed, obviously. That's like tobacco now.
Yeah.
Now, is there harder drugs? Oh, cocaine?
Yeah. I mean, there's drugs everywhere. It's not just in dance music. That is everywhere.
I understand that. But, you know, I don't know. They have, like, I guess when you think of, like, raves or, like, electronic festivals, you think of, like, hallucinogenics
and stuff. That gets that, like, reputation. Yeah, the reputation, But there's a lot of people that don't need that to, like, enjoy the place because they're super passionate about the type of music. Because
I'm sober.
Yeah.
Like, could I enjoy it as a sober person?
I think so. I am sober most of the time there. Yeah. Maybe I have a few beers, but that doesn't really like affect me that much. You know what I mean? I'm not.
Because the music should be enough.
It really is. Like, I don't like getting out of my element. I'm a lightweight. So for me, it doesn't take much. And the smallest amount puts me on the floor. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to pancake on the floor and run around. You know, like knowing that that's what it happens to me sometimes. Why would I want to go out in public and do that?
Mm-hmm. Now, where do like the other DJs like a Z Trip or a Diplo or someone like that, do they cater to these events? Do they play at these events as well?
Yes, they get booked for the same events.
Z Trip.
Yes.
Like Cut Chemist or someone like that, or definitely Peanut Butter Z-Trip. Wolf or Z Trip for sure.
Yeah, I played with him in China. He played right after me when we were in China.
Was he nice?
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, because I'm not from Arizona. I lived in Arizona, mm-hmm. and I remember going to the local shows, and he was on every flyer.
Yeah.
This is in the 90s.
Yeah, and he still makes awesome
music
mixes the same way, like similar to his 90s vibes, but you know, different, like he still does the scratching and the mashups.
He's
and
all amazing. That cool shit. Yeah, amazing.
And what was cool is when I played drum and bass in China, and then when I got off, I saw him back at stage, and he was like, I played a little bit of drum and bass because you already started the vibes. And I was like,
That's so cool. So he's a really nice guy.
Of course. Yeah. He's like really good friends with some of my other good friends. Yeah. So we have mutual friends. I just don't know him that well. Either way, very nice person.
Very nice guy.
Huge fan of his
professional
music. Of course.
How much would someone like Z Trip or anyone with a name, what's their fee? Like, how much do they get paid like a gig?
That really varies. I'm not quite sure what... I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't have their payroll.
Yeah, so everyone has a different fee. Everyone has a different fee.
Yeah.
What's like a general fee, like for a DJ to get booked?
I don't know.
At really, something like that.
It really varies. Depends. Yeah, it varies a lot.
But your cost is probably up. Well, your rate's probably up there now.
I mean.
Well, you don't have to. Do you want to say it?
I would not like to disclose that. I'd like to keep that.
Okay, let me. I want to read another paragraph. In China, I was really getting into it. Just being wacky got them involved, she continues. Getting them excited is what makes me excited. D DJ Night Stalker taught me how to do that. Now, who's DJ Night Stalker?
He's like one of my brothers. He and I get booked to play back to back a lot. Back to back means two DJs kind of just taking turns. And you need to make sure the set flows well together. We're able to, we work well together. Let's just say that way. And he's always been like, I'm like that one that was so emo. That was like, and then he would be so wild and goofy. And I was just like looking at him like a child, like, oh, that, look how much fun everybody else is having now.
Cause
like
he's,
how
because he's open.
Yeah. He was having a lot of crowd interaction. And so I guess when we would play, I would like feed off of that vibe. And then I was like, okay, now I'm, all of a sudden I'm being goofy, you know?
But isn't and that then, more fun that way?
It is more fun. But then I see the pictures of me afterwards and I'm like, oh God.
Oh no.
Making all the faces at people. It's a little, sometimes I might need to tone it down now. Now that I'm comfortable, like tone it down a little bit. You know?
Now, I just thought of this person. Isn't Steve Aoki huge in this world?
Not in my subgenre, but yes. Oh, okay, so that's a
different...
Scene.
Okay, so...
So there's different subgenres of dance music.
Explain that. Explain that to the viewers and listeners.
I play drum and bass music.
Yeah, drum and
bass. There's drum and bass. There's house. There's different variations of house. There's bass house. There's tech house. There's deep house. Then there's techno.
What about electro breakbeats?
There's breakbeats. Electro is more of... It's still kind of there, but breaks are still in. Like, breaks are dope as fuck. I love breaks. Dude, I fuck with breaks. So I played a break set last year, and I was like, oh, I want to...
Electro breaks?
Well, more breaks. But yeah, some
Where do you find
stuff.
Your loops? Where do you find your breaks?
Well, I...
Records and stuff?
No. I just get it from artists that are making break beats. So, like, I'll go on Beatport, and I'll go to the break section in Beatport.
What's Beatport?
It's a place where you can buy all different types of music.
Explain to me that. I'm interested, like, because I do hip hop, you know.
But these aren't samples or stuff to use for production. If you want samples, you should get Splice and stuff for Ableton if you're looking for something like that.
That's on Ableton?
Splice, it's a program that you can get with Ableton.
And what does it do?
Pay a subscription and then you're able to, it gives you access to these plugins and samples that you can use for your music.
Break beats?
Anything.
Wow.
Anything you want.
Dope.
Yeah. So in these subgenres, like back to the subgenres, techno, there's hard style.
What's hard style?
Oh God. Well, it's
Describe
aggressive.
It.
Oh, it's a very, very aggressive. It's a form of like, I think it comes from hardcore. Hardcore used to be super dope in the '90s, but it was like boom, 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 boom. It was just super
fast.
Well,
not hardcore punk, right?
It's hardcore. Like
hardcore
dance. Yeah, that's just hardcore dance, basically. Like hard
boom,
dance.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that was the drum beat. And, you know, breaks is boom, tap, boom, 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 tap.
Yeah. So do it again.
Like, boom, 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 boom.
So you want to hit your head against the wall.
It's fast.
Yeah.
But not as fast as drum and bass. Drum and bass is still faster. It's just groovier.
I like drum and bass.
I love it.
Is that the same as jungle? No.
Yeah, jungle is a variation of drum and bass.
Okay, so jungle is a variation of drum and bass.
Yeah. Within each genre, there are subgenres.
Say that again to the camera.
Within each genre, there are subgenres.
Subgenres.
But like, I'm not an expert or anything.
Yeah, but
so you don't.
But you know
to,
what you're talking about.
To an extent, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not familiar. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's basically, I think. And then you have dubstep and trap.
Dubstep's awesome.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Is that it? I mean, is that still in or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing for people.
Yeah.
People like it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, since you're talking about genres, subgenres within genres, when you're at an event, how do they cater to all those genres and subgenres? Different rooms?
Yeah, it's different stages.
How many stages?
Well, it depends on, usually at...
what are you doing, Craig? Craig's going like this. I don't even know what you're talking about.
EDC's like a circle.
Oh, yeah. At EDC, there's 8 big major stages.
So there's a circle.
It's a big circle. It's a racetrack. You know that racetrack that's in Vegas next to the...
Yeah,
so that it happens there.
But
do you want to see a picture of it?
Yeah. This is, I'm trying to, picture it.
You need to get an aerial shot of it just so that
this
you can,
amazing.
Okay, really...
my next question is, if it's all contained in the same space, even though it's a big racetrack,
They space the stages out enough so there's not sound bleed. So, like, let me
That's
give
what
you
my
just
next
a,
question was.
Like a visual so that you'll be able to kind of see how it's laid out.
God, dude, this is crazy.
But here's an aerial shot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And within this, that's mm-hmm. the festival.
Can you show the camera real quick?
Yeah, like, you just probably, go up to like, them? Does it autofocus?
Yeah, it'll be fine. I mean,
here, let me do something.
Circle. You might want to do an insert.
Dude, that looks insane.
Yeah, and so there's all different types of music and all these little things yeah. in here in this big picture are stages and really intricately well-designed stages. They're mm-hmm. pretty, the sound there is amazing. I don't know. It's fucking dope.
Yeah, if I was an independent drug dealer, I would definitely like look forward to those events because you can't bring them in because could you hide them in? Like, let's say you want to slang your stuff. Like, could you do? How do they sneak their stuff inside of a venue like that?
They told me one time that they caught this dude that had like 1,000 pills taped to his leg with duct tape.
Damn.
And they caught him and like busted up in this pill bag, and they're like, "Ooh, that's a lot."
What's the street market value of that?
I don't know. I'm not a drug dealer. I really don't even know. Yeah, I have no earthly idea. I don't even know how much it costs, like at the rave, if you just wanted like what a single dose. I don't know.
Hypothetically, could you do this? Let's say you're a drug dealer, and you know, like those prison movies, like those gang movies, how they like swallow, like a baggie of it,
and then shit it out.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if they have enough time to get through a shit cycle at the rave. You know what I mean?
So you could do that like 2 days before.
Oh, I hope it doesn't take you that long to shit.
Oh, I mean, like, okay, so a day before.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't shit it out at the rave. I would, like, figure it out some other way. Like,
what do you mean? Well, you have to sneak it in somehow. So you have to poo it out in the rave, like, in a porta potty.
No, just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tape it in your butt crack. At least you're not shitting things.
So how many pills could you tape against your butt crack?
I really don't know. That's maybe 30 or 40? How big is your butt crack?
My butt crack's about...
No, your crack, not your hole.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the hole.
No.
Oh, like my crack. My butt crack.
Yeah, like a little thing that you could insert a bag in and just slip it right in.
I could probably fit 30.
Yeah, 30.
Scotch tape? Like what kind of... Like duct tape it?
Something. Whatever will stick back there. Hopefully you don't have swamp ass that day.
Yeah. How much I could? You could probably make a couple $100 off that, huh?
Probably. Yeah. That is what your prerogative is.
I don't know why. I just have a fascination. I guess because I watched a lot of movies and stuff, and I'm wondering, like, how, you know what I'm saying? Like, at a place like that,
you could probably tape the drugs to your butt crack and also go to any show and get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's significant to dance music. You have to keep in mind there are also a lot of security. Sober people there too.
Yeah. How high is the security? How tough is the security there at these events?
They're pretty tough. They're pretty,
Are they armed? Guards?
I don't think so. I don't think they're armed with guns. I don't know. I'm not really like focused on them.
Yeah. Because you are, you're basically a headline,
I'm not a headliner.
But you're a DJ. On the flyer.
I'm on it.
You're on the flyer. Yeah. So, okay. Sorry. Those are just my weird,
maybe one day.
Yeah. Those are just my weird questions. Yeah. So at something like that, I mean, has anyone passed out because of dehydration?
Of course. There have been people that have died before. Not necessarily in my presence or in my vision, but yes. But they're... It happens everywhere. It's not just specific to these types of events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's is this genre, is this growing? It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Which one?
Like just all...
Just dance music?
Yeah, dance music at the events.
Dance music is getting huge.
Because of the technology?
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it's very interesting and it's intriguing and it's groovy and it's got these catchy beats and hooks. And
yeah.
Things that drive you in. I'm a fan of very many genres of dance music.
Oh, I already knew. Yeah,
it's not just drum and bass only, but it's not a secret. I fucking love techno too.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, that's why I remember you liking techno back then.
I did. Yeah. I used to love techno, down tempo, house, I used to love minimal dubstep back in the day. I used to mix that for a while.
What's the difference between dubstep and minimal dubstep? What's the differences?
So rhythm and all that stuff, screechy stuff now that's like, brah, 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 like all of that is a little bit more heavy. And then the minimal stuff was just like, kind of the wompy rolling bass lines, but not as like screechy and intense. Some of it now is a little like, doesn't mean that it's bad. I think some of it's well-produced. It might not be my preference for the moment. Like, I prefer the deeper stuff.
Right, right.
I like the screechy stuff with drum and bass. Like, if the drum and bass is screechy, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why it's, like, a thing, but
Is Aphex Twin still...
He just played at Coachella, dude.
What?
What?
They've been around forever, right?
Him. Richard D. James.
Richard's been around forever.
Yeah, he's
since the 90s.
Shit, yeah.
And then what's his...
One of my main inspirations of all time.
What's his rate?
Not quite sure. I don't know.
Can I guess?
Sure, I won't be able to tell you if you
I know, but I'm just going to guess
anyway. Yeah, guess.
For an hour set's $10,000.
At least, probably.
$15,000.
At least, probably.
Does Portishead do stuff like that?
I haven't seen them at the Rave in a long time, but I fucking love them so much. Such good music. Oh my God, Portishead? Such an inspiration.
Beth Gibbons.
So good.
You've seen her?
I don't think I have. I have not. I think I had tickets to see her one time, or to see Portishead one time, and then it fell through or whatever fell through, but because I would have remembered that. But then there's some bands that I've seen and people are like, remember when we went to see this band? And I was like, I fucking saw them. Dope.
Oh, don't remember.
This brain's got a lot of holes in it.
Right, right. Well, you know, but you're still doing your thing. It seems you're keeping it together here on the Stephen Reeby Show.
Every day, I don't even know.
Okay, I'm gonna keep going here. I like this because this is going back to the information.
The information
instead of my crazy questions. Girl power is strong with her, says Night Stalker, her fellow Bass Rush resident DJ with whom she went back to back at this year's EDC Las Vegas. When we walk around festivals, young women especially are drawn to her. There is a connection there. They feel there is someone like them up there, and there's love from both sides. Soothsayer is down to hang out. Mm-hmm. She's a head banging witch. So what are your thoughts on that paragraph?
I think he's pretty accurate. Like,
yeah. So females gravitate towards you. Like when you're doing your set, they're like, yeah. They're like, look, they're like backing you up.
I see us as all like friends. Even if I don't know them, they're still friends. And every time I see a fan, I would like to spend time and talk to them and hug them and love them and appreciate their time because there's this one time where
that's cool.
I saw these girls at Bass Rush Massive when I was playing that show and they were like, we love you so much. We came here just to see your set like tomorrow. And I was like, I have to give them something. And the merch stand was there, but I was like, I have like stickers and shit on me, but I've fucking pack everything in my Mary Poppins bag. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard for me to find shit. And I drop the bag down and I'm unpacking every single element. And I have all these little bags within bags because I'm a psychopath.
Your merch?
No, just like, cause I, all the shit in my bag goes in another tiny compartment. I'm crazy. Crazy.
What is it? Like,
so
is
then it's like I'm unpacking. Yeah, totally. Like times 1,000. It's a curse. But anyway, I'm unpacking all my shit and I'm like spreading the bags out. And these girls are like, oh no, no, it's okay. It's all right. I was like, no, I have to give you something. And they're like, because they're like, she's really unpacking all her shit.
So what do you get? Like looking to give them stickers?
Yeah. Or? And I finally found the bag of stickers and I gave them a bunch of shit that I had. And then that was it. But they had to wait a good 5 minutes.
What's your bag? See what's going on there. It. Yeah. Sorry.
Wallet.
Well, you brought it up. Wallet. Okay, that's the bag within the bag. Is there another bag within that bag?
There's a bag within.
There's another bag. Keep going. Now, see, I need the evidence. Okay, there's another bag within the bag. So there's three bags within the bag. Okay.
That might be all the bags.
No. I feel like there's a couple more bags.
No, because
there.
I took two bags out because I got a smaller bag.
Okay. Jeez, yeah, Caroline, fucked. What are you
no
doing?
No more bags. I mean, I got this.
That's a bag.
Yeah, sorta.
Okay, well, we break it out. Let's see. There's the evidence. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now put that bag on the ground.
Yeah. This one on the ground.
Yeah. This one.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
And now we're gonna go through all the bags.
Yeah, we're gonna because I feel like there's another bag within those bags.
No, there's not.
Okay. So if you don't mind me asking, I mean, if I don't want to incriminate you, what's in the what are in those bags? Because I want to, because you said OCD. Okay, that's the owl bag.
This is for all of my USBs that I use to DJ. This is all my music.
Wait a minute. Let me see. This is all your music.
Yeah, but I'm really psycho, and I like name my drives all like specific, so dude, that I know that this is a backup.
This is crazy. So her USBs are numbered.
Yeah, and they're duplicated. So everything that's on this, and I keep multiple like.
Wait.
Some of these are different genres.
Put some on here. No. I'm just, dude. I need to know what's going on here.
These are the main ones.
Okay, number two. Keep going. This is.
And then none of these are named because these are just all jack-off drives from the past.
Oh my!
This is like from back in the day.
Dude, you are. Oh, this is crazy. Are you getting this, Craig? So you have a Spider-Man one?
Yeah, little guy.
Okay, hold up. You can stop. No. You proved your point. You can stop right there. You can stop. Because this is, I'm getting freaked out now. You're freaking me out.
I like music.
So, okay. On one of these, how much music's on one?
10,000 songs.
Okay, so.
Could you hear that? 10,000 songs.
Okay, so on one of these is 10,000 songs. So. Describe more. What are these? So you bring these to your gigs or to the studio session? What do you do with these?
To the gigs. Yeah.
So explain to me how that works. You bring all these, and then what happens?
I use CDJs, which are gear that we use to DJ with now. And you just plug your USB in, and you'll have a playlist that you make. Or like all your playlists are there. All the music that you put on there is there. And then you just choose your individual tracks and then
through
you mix
the
them together. Yeah. So I'll have like, and you can link them. So usually I just plug one of them in, and then if I'm lucky enough to have three or four decks, then I'll link all four decks together. If I have four decks, then I can play faster and more music at once, you know?
So is there a medium where it goes, the USB goes through something else for it to read that, be put to the tables or wherever?
It just goes straight into the tables.
This goes straight into the tables. Is there, what program does that though?
You use a program on the, like on your computer.
There's a
called
computer.
Record Box. And most of the time you'll want to use that to put your tunes on that. Cause it, the Pioneer gear will read what has been processed and analyzed in RecordBox way better than it will if you just throw them onto a drive. If you throw them onto a drive and plug them in, it'll still work, but it won't have your information, and that's fine. Sometimes you don't need it. I like to have it because I like to set cue points.
Yeah.
So,
dude, you know, I'm tripping out because just the way that, like, it's gone to USBs now.
Yeah, dude, I know.
It
started on vinyl. Like, that's what the first thing I ever touched when I tried to figure it out, and I used to be terrible, was vinyl records.
And then tapes, CDs.
Then it was CDs, and then the CDJs, and then now it's these little French fries.
So now, as far as being an independent artist outside even your genre, let's say you do folk music or country or rap or whatever, could you theoretically... You know, instead of CDs and records, just, hey, I'm releasing my album, and then this is how your album is presented to the world.
I probably wouldn't make sense now because you can just download the album digitally to whatever MIDI.
Like on Bandcamp or...
Like, so you wouldn't want to go buy a USB when you can just like download it and put it on your phone.
But like, what if you have a live gig and they want to buy something physical? Right?
Then I would sell them a t-shirt.
Instead of this.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. I haven't heard of that.
You haven't heard of that? Like,
no, and it might be a thing. It might actually be.
It might be a thing, though.
I've heard of, like, within the industry that other artists are, like, selling things that way because other DJs will use that. But if you're just, like, selling music to the masses as a whole, I would give them a digital way of...
Like a digital code to download
your
app.
No, like... So the tunes I have released, they're on Beatport and Apple Music and... I mean, iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Music. iTunes and Spotify. Even though that's just streaming. You know, you can just stream it from there and you don't have to buy it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But wouldn't you be open to that idea? Like, because like if you're an independent musician, instead of lugging like CDs around or vinyl, you could like if you're doing a tour, you just have like a backpack. You know, you could have your T-shirt. Let's say if you come to my show, all my whole album's on this. My EP, 6 songs, and if you buy this, you get a T-shirt too.
I'm just saying,
like, for because people want something.
I would give that as a gift to the fans or something. I wouldn't like try to sell it
as merch.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. There's just digital ways of getting it, mm-hmm. and I feel like if people are gonna use it, they're gonna get it that way. You mm-hmm, know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to
dude, that's so crazy. I'm so glad you opened that bag because that blew my mind.
Yeah, it's a lot of music. Yeah.
What's in the other bags?
Because that was literally.
Like, oh, yeah, how did we meet? This is because it's about Craig. No,
she knew you before you were sober.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't sober, huh, when I met you.
I don't know. That was so long ago. I remember that we probably met through Craig or something at Craig's house, right?
Of course, yeah.
I don't think we met anywhere
else. I remember
I
scared you one night. I grabbed your leg from behind the lazy boy, and you went, ah!
Oh, did you sneak in the back? Yeah, that's when you guys had like the joint door and you guys could walk into each other's houses.
Yeah, I sneaked you. I scared you. You and Kenneth were chilling over there.
And you snuck in.
And then I snuck in and I grabbed your ankle. Ah, and then you went, ah.
Yeah, you probably scared the piss out of me. Yeah. Probably pissed my pants.
And then he has a story of this when I wasn't sober. Didn't you used to see me at bars by myself?
I don't know.
You saw me hitting on a girl at a bar when I was drinking beers or something?
I don't know.
Okay, good. That's a good
idea. I have no idea.
And yeah, so that's no just, I guess Craig.
What bar
just,
would I have
I
seen
know,
you
I guess
at?
Craig just made up that story for the
I mean,
sake
I
of
don't
making
know.
Up the story.
I don't know. I don't even know. Like, when
thanks.
You said that
good
you were
job,
sober, I kind of was like, oh, he's always been sober. I
yeah,
know that
you're doing good. good answers. Let's just do one or two or more of these. We're almost done. We're almost done here. Isn't that easy to use? See, it just flew by.
It's easy.
Is this fun? Is this fun?
This is fun.
Okay, we're going to do more part two, part three. Soothsayer's ties with Insomniac are strong. Her two singles, The Warm Dancer Name Checks the King of the Genre, Andy C., citing both his DJ skills and his selections as her aspiration. She goes beyond drum and bass, giving Trent Reznor as an example of how she would like her production to be crafted. To get there, she spends months on a tune. Is that true?
Sometimes,
even going
stupid.
So far
sometimes
as
like 4 days, but
replacing all the drums after it's already been mastered. So I'm guessing this is some, it has to do with your OCD.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? I mean, the Trent Reznor, like, that's huge inspiration, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted it. 9 Inch Nails. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that a little? Because you're wearing the shirt and it says it in the paragraph.
Yeah, like I'm a huge fan of 9 Inch Nails.
So when did you discover 9 Inch Nails? When you're like in middle school?
Probably middle school.
Yeah.
I think it was middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so captivating. It was like it grabbed me right by the balls I don't have.
Was that you saw them on TV, like MTV?
I think either Broken or Pretty Hate Machine, one of those albums. And it was just like something I'd never heard before. It made me love industrial music.
That's what did it.
Yeah, I love industrial so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's a huge inspiration.
Yeah, you say it right here.
Musician,
yeah.
Very talented producer, very talented engineer. So, I don't know. I'd love for my stuff to sound that quality. He has great sounding music.
Yeah, it says, right, you know, it's crazy you said that because this last paragraph says, I'm trying to get there, she says, to the point where when you hear a song I produced, you know it's mine. That's how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's very, you know, it's very truthful to what you're saying right now.
Yeah, so, I like to craft a sound to where you could tell it's mine.
And what are some of the techniques that you'll have to do to get there?
That's like, it's either finding a certain noise that you use in a certain way that is specific to your style. And maybe you use that in a certain way differently though, in certain tracks. And then I guess that's the best way that I could try to describe it. I don't think it's something you can really put in words. It's more of a feeling.
Yeah, the sound.
And you'll kind of, if I were to play you multiple songs from one artist, I think, and then play you multiple songs by another artist, and you kind of see how when they were to play a set that those songs that they have flow well together.
Yeah.
I think it's because they found this like nice flow in the sound that they've created. Or they could be like me and I make shit that does not go together. It's so off the wall, like random.
Dude, I mean, we're all stoked on you. What are you working on now? How do people get your music and like future shows or tours coming up? Can you like
I've got shows over the summer and I'm in the studio working on a shit ton of music right now. I've got some awesome new music coming out over the summer as well. I would say just to keep up to date, follow my social media pages. And
what are those?
That is...
To the camera, please.
I don't know. Let me look.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I know.
You got to make sure you say that.
Yeah, like, let me...
That's make, why you're here as well. You got to
let me make sure that I know my own social media.
Yeah, what's the name of your single, Carolyn?
I don't want to tell which ones, the ones that are released. Cause the one, I don't want to say the ones that are coming out.
The ones that you have out.
One is Nova and one is Hecate.
So definitely check out Nova. And how can people hear Nova?
You just go to any like Beatport.
What are you doing with your foot there? Dude, what are you doing right there?
I don't know.
Dude, that's weird. That's the first time that's happened.
Really?
Okay, so Nova, you can get on Beatport.
Okay, well, first of all, my Instagram is @sooth_slayer. So do you make little icons, little graphics that pop up like bing with the ning?
I don't know. We might have to do something with that foot move you did. So say your Instagram one more time.
@sooth_slayer.
SOOTH_SLAYER
Yep.
Sooth_Slayer.
That's it. And then I think at Facebook it's DJ Sue Slayer. Maybe just type it in, see if I pop up.
Now when is this new song gonna be released and how can people hear the new thing you're working on?
August, and if you follow my shit, then you'll see when it's about to pop open and come out.
Yeah.
What about merch?
Merch. How could people get a shirt, like one of your shirts or whatever, stickers or something?
DM me on Instagram, tell me you wanna buy one and I'll send it to you.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, if you want merch for right now, you're going to have to go to Sooth_Slayer on Instagram, direct message her, and she could negotiate like the prices on like, are you going to cover shipping?
No,
you're going to have to pay for shipping.
Yeah, we will discuss. Tell me you want a shirt and we'll figure it out.
So she's willing to negotiate prices with you. If you want to get a kick-ass Sue Slayer sticker or whatever, you're going to have to hit up Miss Caroline Miller, a.k.a. Sooth Slayer, on Instagram, Sooth_Slayer. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Did we cover? I want to make sure you're satisfied with your interview.
Are we missing something? I don't think so. I don't think we had anything specific. I think we were just chilling.
Yeah. How we doing on time, Craig?
Yeah, I'm doing this side project now.
Mm-hmm. This is Cole, by the way.
What's his name?
Cole the Troll.
Cole the Troll?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's so cute.
Thank you.
Cole the Troll.
He'll listen to your new song when it comes out.
Is he a good boy?
Yeah, he's good.
He's a nice boy.
Yeah, he's a nice boy.
That's a nice boy.
Yeah.
So I do this band on the side now. And it's very 90s. And it's me and one of my best friends.
What's it called?
We're like fucking brand new that we've already like we just started recording everything, but what we're doing we're both really happy about because it's super like 90s, but it's also super modern.
Yes.
It's like I'll play it for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
How can people hear it?
It's not ready yet. That's just something like follow Sue Slayer and Sue Slayer will let you know about the new project because the new project is going to take a little bit more. one time.
Yeah. Well, how many songs? How many songs deep are you into the project?
Two.
But then you're on your almost.
We just started like 2 weeks ago.
Who's the other person?
My other friend, like one of my best friends. He's another artist as well. And I was just like, yo, let's start a band.
Is he in your genre? Like he does stuff with you?
Yeah.
What's his name?
He has multiple aliases. When he plays drum and bass, he has Follow the Sun. So he's just at Follow the Sun. And then when he plays liquid drum and bass, he's at Dr. Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he plays house and techno, that's Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
So multiple different aliases. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out what to call ourselves right now.
Okay. I'm sure you'll come up with the name.
We're going through ideas and then, I don't know, we're just figuring it out. It's all just come together in the last couple of weeks, but it's just like something we're both super
excited
about.
That's so cool. Yeah. I had like this just off topic, not off topic, but have you ever R.A.W. and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is he still around?
Of course.
Yeah, I'd like to get him on here too because he's an OG.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just
and then
my homie Kip Killigan
in Arizona does.
You should hit him up. He's really nice.
Raul.
Yeah, Raul.
So Raul, I'm gonna holler at you. I forgot. I know I hit you up, but because I want more
he's
like
super talented.
Yeah, I want more electronic producers
he's
and DJs.
Drum and bass jungle OG. He's also OG.
OG.
Yeah, OG.
My homie Kip's homies with him. You know Kip Killigan? Kip?
I don't.
Well, he's like homies with him. He's in Arizona.
Hell
so.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get Kip. I'm going to get R.A.W. And then after we're done filming here, you could recommend some people as well that you think would be a good fit for the.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of homies.
Because
I want
to expand. You're actually the first, correct me if I'm wrong, she's the first electronic artist we've had, right? We've had hip-hop producers, we've had MCs, we have comedians. Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you're our first electronic artist, right? Yep. Craig, can you think of any?
No.
I think you are.
That's sick. So how many guests have you had?
So you're going to be 107 or 8.
Oh my God.
So you're coming on the Stevie Weeby Show during a great time.
Oh, my God.
Because we have our set, you know, people that tune in. And
that's
it's going to be good because people that aren't familiar with your genre will get familiar with your brand and what you're about.
Yeah.
And all your crazy USB sticks.
Yeah.
The way you roll.
All the music. You can also just go follow my SoundCloud. There, I have.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
There.
Go ahead.
It's at DJ Soothslayer.
DJ Soothslayer. So it's Soothslayer again, but a DJ in front of it.
Just, for the SoundCloud one, not
for the
SoundCloud. Instagram one.
How many songs you got on there?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't updated it in a while, but it's mixes and singles. So it's like sometimes I'll put DJ sets up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, we're good an hour? Okay, we're not done yet. I have to do some of my own announcements.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Dude, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And you're
me.
Always welcome. Your friends are always welcome
as
well.
We should all come on and have like a group thing.
Or people from Insomniac, like even some people you work with there or other.
You should have DJ Keeks on.
Who's DJ Keeks?
It's Kenneth.
Oh, yeah. Kenneth is always welcome.
Kenneth has his own party, Camp Trip, which is amazing.
Dude,
he has his own festival now.
Kenneth is always welcome.
You gotta have Keeks on.
I love Kenneth.
Yeah.
Kenneth, you're always welcome. So shout out to Soothslayer. Support everything she does. If you want to support the Stevie Weeby Show, we have a Patreon for that. Go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. Our new patron this week is Michael Martinez. Love you, brother. If you want to check out some of my music, stevieweebybandcamp.com. You can follow the show through Instagram/QUANGOU. Starting a new vlog series called Stevie's P.O. Box, where people send in packages and I unbox them in front of the camera. And then I give you guys a shout out. So send your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, LA, California, 90093. There is no Little Ray's episode this week, but don't shut it off yet.